This is the congressional report for New York's 19th congressional district from WGXC about votes, town hall meetings, events, issues, and more. The website 538.com does not yet have a percentage for how often Representative Antonio Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions. John Faso, his predecessor, voted with Trump's positions 89.6% of the time over his 2 years in office.
Antonio Delgado takes over as congressperson for New York's 19th congressional district this week from John Faso, and he was busy this week on Twitter. Delgado wrote, and I quote, "It's telling that even the president's outgoing chief of staff acknowledged that a border wall is not what's needed for border security. It is a political talking point and one that should not get in the way of reopening the government," end quote. Currently, the U.S. government is shut down after the president pulled out of a deal with congressional representatives of both parties to get $5 billion to build a southern border wall. Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The first task for Congress will be putting aside political games and reopening the government. I hope that Democrats and Republicans alike can work together to do so," end quote. He also mentioned that he took some time off during the holiday season to stay at Scribner's Lodge in Hunter in Greene County. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Democrat Antonio Delgado is being sworn in January 3rd as the local representative of a government shutdown for 2 weeks. Delgado said, and I quote, "The government shutdown is completely irresponsible, and these repeated shutdowns exemplify the dysfunction that we need to change in Washington. I am committed to working together across the aisles to get the government reopened so we can get going on priorities for upstate New York, like improving access to quality health care, expanding rural broadband, standing up for farmers, and protecting our water infrastructure. To do this, I'll work with anyone who's willing to put their head down and get things done, Republican or Democrat," end quote. Delgado promised change locally. He said, and I quote, "I'll hold a town hall in every county of the district over the next year," end quote. John Faso, his predecessor, would not hold traditional town hall meetings with open public access during his 2 years in office. Delgado will likely cast his first vote on two stopgap bills to fund most of the government through September 30th and the Department of Homeland Security to February 8th, previously agreed upon by Republicans and Democrats before President Donald Trump reneged on the agreement. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Antonio Delgado cast his first vote in the House of Representatives January 3rd, siding with Nancy Pelosi, who was chosen as House Speaker. Delgado then voted with the Democrats for a new slate of House rules that passed 230-197, with only Democrats voting for the rules and only Republicans voting against. The next vote was mostly partisan, even though Republicans had previously backed the same measure to keep the federal government operating. When President Donald Trump pulled his support and insisted on $5 billion for a southern border wall, all but seven Republicans now voted against the bill. Delgado and the Democrats voted for it, passing the measure that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he will ignore, 241-190. Delgado was sworn in January 3rd in Washington, D.C., but he's also having a local swearing-in Saturday, January 12th at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson. The ceremony filled up with reservations quickly and has now, quote, reached capacity. On Tuesday, January 2nd, Delgado spoke with reporters on a telephone conference call before being sworn in as part of the 116th U.S. Congress. Here's a recording of that press conference on the telephone with reporters.
Hello, all. Hope all is well. Big day on this end. Very pleased to be able to speak with each of you today in advance of swearing in. It's interesting to come into office in this climate. We ran a campaign on, I think in many respects, restoring people's faith in democracy and in good government and accessibility and accountability, and making sure that people understand that the government can be restored back to the people. We are now entering into a dynamic whereby we are going into a shutdown of the government. So our faith is being tested at an incredibly high level at this point, and I think it's imperative that members of Congress work very hard to get through this process and cooperate and reach a resolution so that we can open up the government. It is incredibly irresponsible at this state to find ourselves in this position, and it is, I think, of utmost importance that we rectify this situation. And to be clear, you know, I will work with anybody to put my head down and figure out how to do it. I'm happy to get into some specifics about what I know on the table moving forward, but just understand that I'm coming into this with the mindset of we do right by the people when we actually keep the government open and do the work for the people. So it's an exciting day. It's a day that, you know, we feel good about at a personal level, I'll say. But also I'm entering into this space with the understanding that there's a lot to focus on and make sure we get back on the right page here. So thank you all again for your time.
And folks, the way that we will do questions, because there are so many that are on the line, if we could ask folks to just ask one question each first, and then if there is time for second or additional questions from others, we can go to that. But for this first round, if everyone can just ask one question, please, and please say again your name and the outlet that you're with. And if you are not speaking, just a reminder again to please mute your line. Thanks.
This is Allison Dunn with WAMC, Congressman-elect Delgado. Hello.
Hi, Allison.
I wanted to know what you would vote for in terms of a continuing resolution to end the shutdown. You know, you said you'll meet with anyone, talk with anyone to get to a resolution. Will you vote for anything that includes funding for the wall at the U.S.-Mexico border?
So the leadership party is going to be putting forward a couple of bills today. Both of which, two packages, I should say, contain two bills. One consists of six bills already approved by the Republicans in the Senate, which would reopen all government agencies except for the Department of Homeland Security with full fiscal year funding until September 30th. That is something that the Senate has already agreed to doing in terms of the previous Congress. The second bill would extend the Department of Homeland Security's funding through February 8th, which is that the Senate voted for unanimously. So we are now proposing on the Democratic side of the aisle a bill that has already been in essence supported by Republicans. So if they decide to act otherwise, that would be irresponsible. And I think we are trying to act in good faith here, making sure that we are starting on terms that have already been agreed to by the other side of the aisle. To be clear, none of these bills contain new wall funding, and that, to me, is the appropriate posture.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jennifer Hill from Hometown Oneonta, the Freeman's Journal, allofpico.com. I'm going to bring it down to our very local level here. We are wondering if you are going to open an office in Otsego County because there hasn't been an office here represented by Congress for this area in a while.
Yes. So let me first say I love when people ask super local questions.
Yay!
The answer is I can't say for sure if we're going to have one in Otsego. We're certainly looking at Otsego. We're going to be opening up one in Delhi. I know that. So we are going to be out on the western side of the district. We're opening up a number of offices across the district. We're going to hope have mobile office hours, and we're going to have town halls as well. As I said over the course of my campaign, we want to have a presence in every part, in every corner of this district. Otsego is definitely an area that we want to continue to have a strong presence in. You know, very happy, you know, that we actually won Otsego County in which I think speaks to how committed we were during the campaign and that commitment level to be maintained now that I'm in office. So whether it's going to be an actual physical office or whether it's going to be mobile offices is still up in the air. You know, but we are certainly working to have multiple office spaces spread out all across the district to make sure that people have access to me and can get casework done in a way that is efficient and productive for the folks on the ground.
Thank you.
Congressman Hugh Reynolds from Catskill Mountain News, good morning.
Good morning.
Staying on the local issue, it's been reported by the Chamber of Commerce that you're opening a local office, a district office in Kingston on Clinton Avenue. Can you confirm that?
That is going to happen, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I have more, but let the other reporters jump in.
Congressman.
Hi, Nina Schutzman with the Poughkeepsie Journal. Some lawmakers have tweeted or said publicly that they're going to refuse or donate their pay during the shutdown, and about 250 did in the 2013 shutdown. What are your thoughts on that?
I actually haven't thought about that. That has not been something that is I've given a lot of thought to at this point. I think it's definitely something that is worth thought, and I don't. I'm not in a position at this point to answer one way or the other, but certainly think that it's worth considering.
Thank you,
Congressman. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I have my turn.
Congressman Doug LaRocque with the Eastwood Press from Eastern Rensselaer County. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad. Local issue quickly. When you did your town hall meeting during your campaign in Hoosick Falls, one of the issues you touched upon was having to look at an alternative source of drinking water for the village since theirs is contaminated with PFOA. I know it's early, you're just starting, but do you have any kind of a concept or plan or possible timetable toward any kind of federal help or impact toward that goal?
Well, what I can tell you is that I have been speaking with Representative Kildee, who, as you know, represents a district that includes Flint and has dealt with serious contamination issues. We've had several conversations since I've been in D.C. My team is communicating with his team. I've met with the leader Pelosi, on this issue as well. It's been made clear that it is a priority of mine. And rest assured that we are working very, very hard behind the scenes here to make sure that we can work out the sort of solutions that we talked about in Hoosick Falls. So that is definitely a priority of mine. I'm having those conversations. I'm working with individuals who've dealt with these issues before, and I do feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Congressman. You have a good day.
You too.
Congressman, this is Jesse Smith from the Kingston Times.
Yes.
I'm working on something.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how you doing today?
Yes.
I'm working on something about your constituent services operation. I know you've addressed that a little bit, but I wanted to speak a little bit more just in terms of whether you plan to hire more people than were previously working on this under your predecessor or open more offices, just in general, you know, what is your constituent services operation going to look like and how will it differ from your predecessor in the office?
Yeah, it'll be, I think, a lot more robust. We're going to have more offices. I would liken it more towards or more liken it more to Congressman Gibson, former Congressman Gibson's approach in terms of the volume or number of caseworkers that we're going to have across the district. There'll be at least four or five, if not more. We're also going to have, like I said, a number of offices across the district. We're going to have one officially opening up in Kingston, as noted. I know we have a space out in Delhi that we're going to be working out of. We're looking in places like Sullivan, Otsego, Columbia. So we are looking at areas all across the district and anticipate that we're going to have a strong presence everywhere in a very balanced fashion. I think more than that, too, we're also going to make sure that I'm doing town halls and hopefully going to have one every county before the year's end. So, you know, that is the objective. And if we can do those things and create that level of accessibility, both via the folks on the ground and in the offices, as well as me directly through town halls, not to mention we're going to have a very transparent calendar on our website. So these are the things that we're doing to make sure that people can have access and feel truly connected to their representatives.
Congressman Rich Kwan with the Sullivan Times. Good morning.
Morning.
When you decided to support Leader Pelosi, one of the things I think you mentioned was your conversation with about broadband access, and as you know, in Sullivan and beyond, it's a big issue to conduct business and just live. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your thinking about broadband and maybe something you've learned about the challenges of getting it, you know, getting more access for residents and businesses?
Well, you know, what I have learned, particularly when it comes to how you not just great economic development and spur economic growth, but how you just level the playing field for both educational purposes and work even in the agricultural space. We're currently not operating on a level playing field right now with the lack of broadband access. And, you know, we can expect to generate economic growth and mobility at the pace that is necessary and warranted in the 21st century if we don't have it. Now, it's a complicated endeavor because many of the reasons why you see a lack of broadband in some of the more rural parts of the district and the country, for that matter, is because much of the investment is imbalanced in terms of motivation, and that motivation is primarily profit. And so it's imperative the government steps up where appropriate, either works in conjunction with private actors or steps up and does so in the public square and through public works investment to generate real economic growth by investing in rural broadband. I think more than specifics, it's about being committed and having a priority that you are fixated on to make sure that people have what they need. I don't think this is a luxury we're talking about. It's about a need here for economic development and growth. And so, like you said, I did have a chance to speak with the leader, speak with other individuals who have worked on rural broadband or broadband access across the country, in other parts of the country. I hope to team up with them and figure out how we can put together a package that can have a real impact for folks living in New York 19.
Thank you very much.
Congressman, can we ask follow-up questions on these? Can we ask follow-ups on some of these questions?
I haven't asked the first question yet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to make sure we get through everyone's first question first.
This is Dan Friedman with the Times Union. I have not asked a question. if I could bring it up just to a bit more of the cosmic level for a minute, and that would be the Senate.
I like the cosmic level.
I'm sure you do. So do I. The Senate, Mitch McConnell has said he will not support anything coming over from the Democratic House that does not have the support of President Trump. So it seems at this point as though the legislation the House passes today with your vote will be DOA in the Senate. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that you can see that's going to take this beyond a standoff, who blinks first kind of situation?
It's hard to, and I don't like to engage in predicting into the future, particularly about matters of such importance. I will say this, though. I think it is very hard to comprehend how you can present, Democrats can present a package, which Republicans have, in effect, already voted on and displayed that they would support. And then about face, and simply say, no, not now. When we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people whose pay is at risk, departments who will be shut down and people who rely on these services will be shuttered out, It makes no sense. Zero sense. And so the onus ought to be on the individuals and the party that sees fit to change course purely out of politics, at the expense of the very people that they're here to serve.
Thank you. Congressman, this is Daily Gazette. How are you doing today?
All right. How you doing?
Not too bad. So I just wanted to, because the one thing that I know, I think a few of us asked you kind of last time we did this, and I think I may have asked you this as well, something you said you didn't have clear visibility on, and now that you've been in D.C. A little bit and had these conversations, in terms of committee assignments, I mean, do you have any indication of where you're going to be on this? And I apologize if it's something that's been reported, but I just figured I'd at least kind of ask the question kind of on my end.
I mean, I have said that I've long wanted to be on the Agriculture Committee as well as the Infrastructure Committee as well. I pushed very hard with my team to make sure that we can land on one or two of those committees. I think for the reasons that I've discussed in the past, being on those committees would allow me to do the work that I think can be most impactful for my constituents, for the farmers, small business here, family farmers who are looking for real advocacy on that committee to fight for lower dairy prices and to fight for opportunities to access markets and better diversification of organic certification and things of that like. Obviously, the farm bill that just passed, so implementation of that is very important. And then on the infrastructure side, we have a number of issues there, whether it's the lack of broadband, whether it's the roads, the tumbling roads, the bridges, transportation, public transportation, or lack thereof. These are things that I think for our district specifically, I can really be an advocate for. So I've made these points abundantly clear, and you know, we'll find out in the coming weeks where this all shakes out. And, you know, that's what I can do at this point.
Thank you for that.
Congressman, this is Gabe Altieri from WSKG in Binghamton. I'm curious if the shutdown has led to maybe a quicker learning curve for you as you get settled in there.
Yes.
Yes.
This is not a normal situation, you know. So you come in and, you know, you have to figure out the rules of the road pretty quickly and make sure you got good people around you. And we're definitely doing that. You know, I like to make informed decisions. I like to make sure that I do my homework and that I understand, you know, the implications of every choice that I make. So with that, and given the time crunch here, yes, it, you know, you have to be really on top of it to make sure that you're doing right by the folks who sent you here.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Arielle Dangla from the Daily Freeman. I just wanted to follow up. I know that you mentioned that you're working to get your district offices up and running and you've got your eye on a couple different places, but how soon can constituents expect your offices to open, and what do they do in the meantime if they want to reach out to you and have conversations with your staff and with you?
Well, we plan to open up the office in Kingston this month. So our headquarters will be open this month. January, to be exact. And I know we have the office out in Delhi that will be opening, I think, relatively soon as well. Beyond that, and like I said, we'll be having offices opening up on a rolling out basis thereafter. Beyond that, like I said, I'll be doing town halls fairly soon. Also, you can go to the website. Our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, call our headquarters as well. So we have a number of touch points that people can reach out to get access and to, you know, make sure that I get a sense of what their concerns are. So that is how we're proceeding. But definitely very excited about our office opening in January, which to us is a very good outcome.
Okay, because I had people already calling me looking to get a hold of you. What is there one phone number that people can call right now, like a main number?
All right, y'all, I can follow up with, this is Laura, I can follow up with you individually on that, and then I'll also send out an email to everyone who's on the list with the new Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts that are launching today, because that's on the official side, and that's another way that when folks send a message to there, we are happy to answer their questions as well as emailing and calling. So I'll, Ariel and everybody else, I'll get that information out.
Great, thanks.
Hey, Congressman, John O'Connor from WNYC.
Hey, man.
Prior to this new Congress taking over, we've seen some disagreements between the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, the more centrist wing of the Democratic Party over issues. This is something you navigated during your primary. I'm wondering how much an issue do you think it's going to be in the next Congress, and what lessons did you take from your primary that you may be able to apply to working with your Democratic colleagues?
I mean, I think it's important that anybody who goes to Congress puts their constituents first. And, you know, that should be the North Star. You know, it is for me. It's always about how my decisions are going to impact the folks who sent me here. That is the key. And so whether you're in the Democratic Party, whether you're in the Republican Party, if you are willing to work with me and I, you, in a fashion that'll advance, you know, the agenda that I think is best reflects the desires of the folks in New York 19, then I'm all ears, and I'm going to roll my sleeves up and get to work. So I think, to me, given the nature of, or the current state, I should say, of D.C., it is imperative that whatever party you associate yourself with, the focus ought to be on how to find common ground, be it within that party or outside that party, for the purpose of, again, restoring people's faith in democracy and in good government. Because right now, I would suggest, rightfully so, a lot of people have lost some faith. And so to me, it's important that beyond the partisanship, beyond the politics, we understand the stakes here go beyond that. We're talking about our country. We're talking about our principles, our democratic principles. And I think from that standpoint, we have to come together and find common ground.
And this is Laura. We have time for one more question.
Congressman-elect Delgado, this is Hillary Harvey from Radio Kingston. Activists are calling for your support on the Green New Deal and the anti-corruption bill. Do you support these two policies, and how do you feel about activists mobilizing around your congressional work already?
So, yeah, I'm the Green New Deal. You know, as I talked about over the course of my campaign, prioritizing dealing with the problem, the crisis that is the climate change crisis is of utmost importance to me. And I've talked about doing a host of things to combat it, whether it's making sure we stop propping up the fossil fuel industry with subsidies that are unnecessary, and making sure we shift those subsidies and tax credits over to the renewable energy space. That is imperative. Whether it's making sure that we properly support the EPA and its endeavors to protect our waters and our air, all these things are of critical importance. There are certainly elements in the new or the Green New Deal that I think you know, are helpful, particularly the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis. I think that is something that we certainly should be considering. I think we need to bring a lot of great minds together to figure out how we can make this transition boldly but practically and in a way that truly accounts for the economic impact for the many folks who, for a very long time, have relied on an industry that, as we all know at this point, is becoming more and more outdated, and that is the fossil fuel industry. So in the coming weeks, I will continue to be assessing different ways that I can advocate and approach, or I should say add policy aspects to this whole piece, and I'm excited to do the work moving forward. On a question of the anti-corruption bill, yes, I'm very supportive of the anti-corruption bill. As I talked about quite a bit over the course of my campaign, the level of imbalance when it comes to corporate power in our political system, combined with the level of economic and income inequality, has created a dynamic where our democracy is looking more like an oligarchy or a plutocracy. And so unless we do the work of leveling out the playing field here and empowering people, no matter, you know, how much money they have in their bank account, to engage, truly engage, and have access to the folks here in D.C., that people will continue to have a lack of faith in our system. And I don't think that that is sustainable. So I think that the AHR 1 is a very important step in the right direction.
And how do you feel about activists mobilizing about your work already?
I think any type of mobilization is important and necessary. What I think ought to be the case is participatory democracy. People should participate on every level. That is how the system works. When people don't participate, only a handful of people dictate the fate of this country.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report. Go to WGXC.org for more information.